Mighty conqueror and the only time. The only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart, and I wondered then if things could ever be the same. But then one night I remembered his love for me, and down the dusty road ahead I could see it was the only time, the only time I ever saw him run. Said, "My son's gone home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. I saw all alone and so far away, but now I know that he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, I felt this love for me again. He ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son," he called me son, he said, "Son,
till there's no room left in me. I don't want none of myself injected into anything that has to do with the kingdom of God. Amen. It has to all come from Him.
Yes.
Well, it's a beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. We're glad to be here with you again. We appreciate, turn me out just a little bit of feedback up here, brother. We appreciate Brother Tony having confidence in asking us to come bring you the word. The devil's fought us on it, that's for sure, so that just means it's going to be a good service. You know, he's not too smart of a devil.
Right.
You can always tell when you're going to have a good service when he goes to fight you right before church. But he's just not too bright. You figured he'd just let you have a bed of ease, you wouldn't be ready for it, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning and this evening. I'm not much of a serious preacher, but we're just going to try to do our best on this. Something the Lord put on our hearts. I'm going to talk to you about God's character. God's character. And this evening we'll go a different route with it, but the same subject. This morning we want to go with becoming the victory in God's character. I just want to read a quote real quick before we go to our scripture to kind of lay a foundation of where we're coming from with this. Brother Ben says in Identification 63, says, "But when he had seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ." So the character of God molded himself into the person that we call Christ. What's it going to do with us? What should it do with us? Amen. God's own character of love projected himself into the man Christ. As Paul speaking, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God, rather see, his own character molded that kind of a person. Oh, no one could ever do that but God, he says. This was done so that he could pay the penalty of the fall of his creation. So he's saying God looked down, seen the fall of man, and had his own character expressed itself and molded himself into Christ so he could pay the sin, the penalty for our sins.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I'm a kind of a word person. I really like the words and definition of words and how they go. And I like this definition of character. Webster's put it. It says, the way someone feels, thinks, and behaves, someone's personality.
Yes.
A set of qualities that are shared by many people in a group or a country. A set of qualities that make a place or thing different from other places or things.
Right.
So it's a separation of what a character is. A separation. Amen. Let's get to our scripture real quick. Just kind of keep that in mind, character, as we go throughout this morning and this evening. Let's go to Isaiah 25 and just one scripture here, verse 8. And then we'll go to Ephesians 6 and 10 real quick. Don't want to keep y'all standing too long this morning. Isaiah 25 and 8. Amen. The prophet speaks here. He says, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Let's go to Ephesians 6 real quick. Excuse me. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Jason, how do you know what a promise of God is? You know, does God say, I promise you this and I promise you that? And it come to me instantly. I never thought about it before, but just something come to me. I said, anytime God speaks, that's a promise.
Amen.
God can't lie. He can't change and he can't lie. There's two things God can't do. So anytime God speaks, that's a promise. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, or withstand, excuse me, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he says, stand.
Yes.
Stand, taking on the whole armor of God, or should I put it like this, the whole character of God.
Amen.
Stand. Let's bow our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to gather here in your name, dear Father, with these precious saints, dear Lord. Knowing within ourselves, dear Lord, there is nothing that I could say to benefit one person here, dear God. It has to be you that will come down and anoint these scriptures and anoint these little notes that we have here, dear Father. It has to be you that will come down and quicken it, dear Lord, and make it known to the people. We just ask that you'll grant it. You'll keep us safe, dear Father. You'll send your angels to camp around this building, dear Lord. And you'll just push back every evil spirit here this morning, Father. We ask that you'll anoint us and touch us, dear Lord. We ask that you'll grant it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
still trying to figure out what the etiquette of wearing a jacket is. I'm just not a jacket wearer, but I always come out with it. It's just something that we do, I guess. Amen. Becoming the victory and having the character. Amen. I got this, becoming the victory. I one of my favorite text or favorite message sermons of Brother Branham was Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And it's kind of where I got this thought many months back. Right? He says, oh, if I could get the world to see that. Why? There you are. There is the body of Christ living, standing, redeemed. Redeemed. Oh my, he says. Justified in his sight. Why are we justified? And he answers the question. We are his victory.
Amen.
The church is his victory. We come forth in this last days with this glorious gospel showing forth his victory. And well, after listening to that, it kind of caught me one day. And I got to thinking, I said, well, how can a person become another person's victory? Whenever you think about a victory, you think of maybe a football game or a baseball game. You know, you got two combatants, they play against each other. One of them gets defeated, you know, overcomes the other one at the end, so forth. Then that person we would think is victorious. Well, how can a person become another person's victory? Okay, so I start to dig into the message and the word a little bit, and I think there's just a little bit more here than what actually means to I. As I said a minute ago, I do like words. So Webster's definition of victory is a success in defeating an opponent or an enemy. The act of defeating an opponent or an enemy.
Yeah.
The overcoming of an enemy or antagonist. So I put the overcoming by a successful act. So the very act that we go through, if we defeat the enemy on the other side, that act can be considered a victory,
right,
according to the definition.
Right.
Amen. It's just not something we get at the end of going through something. If we're successful at the end of it, then that is also what we go through considered a victory.
Yes.
So how does God defeat his enemies in the Bible? It's a good question to ask, right? We know God's going to defeat, swallow up death, and so forth. He's going to defeat all his enemies. How does God defeat his enemies in the Bible? Let's just lay a foundation. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 real quick as we kind of get taken off. Do you love him this morning?
Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I like that, amen. That was a good one. Sometimes you say that and you get, amen. One sister loved it. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 50 and 21. We're just going to kind of preach this morning because I'll just be honest with you. The devil's fought us on this.
Yeah.
And Brother Tony solidified it to us this morning. So we're just going to take off if that's okay. If that's okay. Some people call me a Pentecostal preacher and I just kind of reluctantly have to say, well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I don't know how else to do it. I just got to be me.
Yes,
that's just what I am. You know, I get loud. I get excited about the Word of God and I don't see a problem with that. I really don't. I see what God has done for us in this day.
Yeah.
And I still don't think we grasp the fullness of what he's done for us in this hour.
Right.
I think we haven't even touched the tip of it very yet of what he's done for us. Amen. Jeremiah 50 and 21. This is how God defeats his enemies. Now remember this. Go up against the land of Marathim. And that land, the word Marathim is another word for Babylon. So Babylon. Go up against the land of Babylon, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord. God didn't like them.
Right.
Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord. And do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land. I believe a sound of battle is in the land today.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. And of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware, thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened up his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. That's anger. The weapons of his anger. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Drop down to 29 real quick. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her.
Yes, amen.
What they have done, do unto them.
Right.
You reap what you sow.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Just keep that in mind. Do all unto her that she hath done. For she hath been proud against the Lord. Why? She said, well, we believe in God. We believe there's a God, there's an Almighty. We're just going to worship Him the way we want to worship Him.
Right.
We're going to approach God the way we want to approach God. Kind of like Cain in the Genesis.
Yes.
Cain made a sacrifice unto God. Cain believed in God. Cain even talked to God.
Yeah.
But he was still proud. He said, I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God.
Yeah.
He didn't like the way Abel worshiped God. No doubt, Abel worshiped God. He took a rock and he took a little lamb and started cracking that lamb over the head. Blood splattering everywhere. It was messy. It was disgusting to look upon that.
Right.
It wasn't a pretty sight.
Right.
No doubt, Abel didn't even know what he was doing. Something moved upon him to do that.
Yeah.
He don't know, why am I doing this? No doubt, tears were coming down his eyes. The lamb was screaming out and crying.
Yes, that's right.
And Cain looked at it and said, God, let me show you how to worship God. Let me show you how to do it. And he goes into his garden and he picks his best fruit. He didn't pick his worst ones.
Yeah.
He didn't pick the bugs, the ones with bugs crawling all over him. And right. He picked the best fruits, I believe.
That's right.
Wholeheartedly and sincere.
Sure. Yeah.
But it wasn't God's provided way. That's what happens when we don't go God's provided way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the way looks like. That's the way we got to go.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how nasty and disgusting or whatever it is. How hard it is to do that. That's the route we got to take. Amen. She hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Drop down to verse 35. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars and they that dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. And they shall become as woman. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters. God hated them so much that he was going to dry up the waters. He was going to kill the inhabitants that wasn't even Babylonians. Just being around him, he was going to destroy them as well. He hated them so much. Going to dry up the waters. And they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, he says. And they are mad against upon their idols. What's he going to do with Great Babylon in our day?
Right.
Let me ask you that.
Yes, sir.
If he hated natural Babylon so much, he wanted even the waters, nothing to be left of her. Complete and utter destruction of her. What about in our day?
Right. Yeah.
What about that denominational spirit in our day?
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
How much more does he hate that?
Amen. Yes.
Graven images, he says. And they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there. And the owl shall dwell therein, and it shall no more be inhabited forever. Forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, he comparing Babylon to Sodom and Gomorrah. As God overthrew them and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein.
Right.
What's a son of man in the scripture a type of? A prophet.
Right.
Why? Because they've gotten their prophets. God would send them prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. And they would reject him. Reject him. They'd straighten up for a little bit and then turn him down. Straighten up for a little bit and then turn around and kill him.
Right.
The cycle of revival and death.
That's right.
Revival and death.
That's right.
Revival and death.
Yes.
God got sick of it. Amen. Brother Branham said, you can send away your day of grace. Do you know that he said that?
Yes.
Right. Amen. You can turn God down for the last time.
Right.
Young people, you keep that in mind.
Yes, sir.
You can turn God down for the last time.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right.
We can send away our day to grace. God gets sick of sending somebody, then turn it down. Rejection after rejection. He gets tired of it.
Right.
And it angers him. He hates it so much that he wanted to destroy it.
Yes.
Amen. Let's jump over to 51, Jeremiah 51, real quick. 51, let's go to 20. We're still on the thought of how does God destroy his enemies. Jeremiah 51 and 20. If you read through from where we left off in Jeremiah all the way to verse 20 and here in 51, it just goes down about God hating Babylon. How much more he's going to destroy it, but for the sake of time. 51 and 20. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. This is Jeremiah speaking it to the children of Israel.
Yeah.
It wasn't God talking to Jeremiah. It was Jeremiah prophesying it to the people. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break into pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break into pieces and man and woman. And with thee will I break into pieces old and young. You starting to see the pattern here?
Yeah.
With thee. With thee. With thee. Everybody say, with thee.
With thee.
So God, how does God destroy his enemies? He uses his people.
Amen.
He's always used his people. He used Moses in the days of Moses to destroy Pharaoh. He used Elijah in the days of Elijah to destroy the 200 prophets of Baal. He's always used his people to destroy his enemies. Amen? That's how God uses it. He uses man to destroy his enemy. Now, like I said before, there's two things that God can't do. He can't lie and he can't change. If he establishes something one way, that's the way it has to be. Amen?
Right.
Let's jump over to 1 Corinthians 15 real quick. This is Paul speaking here. Now keep in mind, God uses men to destroy his enemies. Amen?
Yes.
Can't change and can't lie. 1 Corinthians 15, let's start at 51. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul says. Now, are we not living in the days of the voice of the seventh angel?
Yes.
Where the mystery of God should be finished?
Yes.
Well, just to jump forward just a little bit, you're that mystery of God.
Yes.
That's what was revealed in our day was the feminine part of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. This was a mystery to Paul because he did not understand that. He didn't have the revelation of it. But we have that revelation in this day. All mysteries have been made known. Amen. So in other words, Paul is saying, behold, I show you yourself. Amen. Because we're the mystery. We shall not sleep. We shall not all sleep, excuse me. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, he says. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. When? At the rapture time.
Yes.
That's when this is going to come to pass.
Amen.
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 He goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? Death had a sting once.
That's right.
O grave, where is thy victory?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The grave had a victory once.
Yep.
But that was taken away at Calvary.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose of Calvary. Sometimes I think I see people out and they're all talking about the great revelations and mysteries. And that's fine. But let's not forget Calvary. Because it all started there. That's our birthing place. That's our stake in the ground, so to speak, that we can look forward and look back and say, that's where my sickness was taking place at. That's where my sin was taken care of. Let's not forget Calvary. That's where death lost its sting. That's where the grave lost its victory.
That's right.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
He goes on to say, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. What is it? The law without the grace.
Right.
The law alone. For 4,000 years they had the law. The law, what was it? The strength of sin is the law. It was like the venom of the sting.
Yeah.
That was pumping into the people all the time. Death, death, slowly killing them a slow death.
Right. Yes.
Moses had to go through it. All the great prophets of old had to go through it. Nothing could save them. That's why God had him look down. Brother Brandon said, as we read a minute ago, he looked down and his very character molded him into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. What was it? The law was the venom pumping into the people, death. Death for 4,000 years.
Yes.
But the law is perfect within itself. Didn't David say in Psalms, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Without the grace, though, it's not. Amen? How is the law perfected? Through Calvary. Amen? Jesus came to fulfill the law, not do away with it. Amen? Gave us a chance to where we could fulfill the law as well. Paul goes on to say, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. What? Through Calvary. It all goes back to Calvary.
Amen.
Calvary. Calvary. My, such a precious time in history. Such a wonderful time. Let us not forget that whole rugged cross that hung there for 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because He did it for you. He did it for me.
Yes.
When He was on the cross, I was on His mind.
Amen.
Amen. Now the Greek word that Paul uses here, where he said God giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, the Greek word that he uses for the word victory here is the Greek word nikos. N-I-K-O-S. It's actually where the word Nike, where the tennis shoes and the hats and all that, the Nike apparel is derived from that word Nikos. In fact, Nike means to be victorious.
Yes.
It was actually a Greek goddess. Her name was Nike, and it was a victorious goddess is what they call it. So it's actually where we get the word Nike from. The Greek word Nikos. And it means to utterly vanquish.
Yes.
That's the word Paul chose to use here. That's the word victory that he chose to use here.
Yes,
to utterly vanquish. Not just merely defeat.
Right.
It goes beyond Webster's definition of victory. Right. It means to utterly and completely destroy.
Amen.
Like in the book of Jeremiah. Amen? Did God not say, utterly and completely destroy them?
Right.
Don't just defeat them. Don't just beat them to where they can come back and fight another day. Defeat them off the face of the earth. And God's given us that
right.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just to simply overcome something, to defeat something, but to completely destroy it.
Right.
It goes a lot deeper than just defeat. Amen. No wonder Paul said in Romans, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. What does that mean? It's actually a surpassing victory to be more than a conqueror.
Yes, sir.
It's like let's take a baseball game just for an analogy real quick. You got two teams playing against each other. Now, if one team beats the other team and the other team doesn't score, let's say you got two teams, one team wins by 20 points and the other team has 0 points, that's called a skunk. That's what we call a skunk. They skunked them. They didn't score 1 point. That's the same analogy here, right?
Yes,
here. See, we're not going to just defeat the devil. He's going to get a few blows in on us, but we'll end up defeating him. No, we're going to skunk him.
Right.
He's not going to have anything on us.
Hallelujah.
He's not going to have anything he can come back and say, remember this? Because
yes,
that's what Calvary took care of.
Amen.
That goes back to Calvary as well. It was all settled, the sin question. We go to pray sometimes, God, forgive me that. I know Daddy looks down and says, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Forgive you of what? I've already forgiven you.
Amen.
God, heal me in this. What are you talking about? I've already healed you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
All we have to do is accept it and believe it and claim it.
Amen.
Like I was telling the brothers back there, listen, this bride, we're not going to be, I barely make it that. Oh, man. Oh, guys, I made it to heaven. Oh, thank you. No, that's not going to be. That's not how it's going to be. We're going to march our way on into Zion. We're going to march our way into glory.
Yes,
we're not going to barely make it over. Oh, defeated. Oh, I just barely made it over. No, that's not how I want to go.
Amen.
I want to go take it by force.
Yes,
I want to grab it out of the slimy hands of the devil and march my way into victory.
Yes.
Into heaven.
Amen.
I want to be a defeater, a victorious defeater,
Amen.
With a surpassing victory.
Right.
Praise to God. Oh, glory. Now I know why the devil was fighting.
Yes,
come
sir.
On, devil, fight.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
Amen.
So to have a victory, you have to have a defeat.
Right.
And to have a defeat, you have to have a battle.
Yes.
How many believes we're living in the greatest battle ever fought?
Amen.
Where's it at? This 8 inches right here is a bigger battleground than all of World War II, than all of World War I put together.
That's
this
right.
Little 10, 8, whatever it is, that's more of a battleground than any battle that's ever been fought.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Back to the quote we got this from, Brother Branham says, and we stand justified in Christ before Him. Because He cannot pass judgment, for He's already judged that body in which I'm a part of. Oh, glory. Brother Brandon says, what? How am I a part of it? Here it is. He says, it's in me.
Right.
What is it? That new body. It's in me. Oh my. It's in me. If ye abide in me and my words in you, then what ye ask the Father, anything in my name, it'll be done because it's there. It's already there. We just have to access it to get it to manifest. Amen? Justified. Glory to God, He says. Oh, if I could get the world to see that. Why? There you are. There is the body of Christ standing redeemed. Oh my, He says. We're justified in His sight. Why are we justified? We are His victory. The church is His victory. We come forth in this last days with this glorious gospel showing His victory. He died for this purpose, He says. And we are proof of His victory. We're the proof of it.
Right.
What is it? We're the proof of the resurrection.
Amen.
We're the proof that He died.
Yes. Right.
Amen. When we see Him coming down and living among the people, He says, that's His victory. Shows that he couldn't keep Him in the grave. Neither can He keep us.
Amen.
Oh, God, this is good. Neither can He keep us. That's right. And we're already potentially arise. Because we've risen from the dead, belief in the Word, from denominational creeds to an eternal Word of the Word, eternal God, excuse me, which is Him Himself working through us, manifesting Himself that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Working through us to manifest Himself that He is the same. If we'll yield ourselves.
Yes.
A yielded vessel, that's what He's looking for. A fleshly yielded vessel. Oh, praise God. And when the Word comes down, moves down into the body from the head, what did we have in 1963? That was our head.
Yes.
The Word come down from there. It's staying in the cloud in 63. Doesn't do me any good.
Right.
It's got to come down to the body.
Amen.
That's what we've had in this hour. That's why these websites are so against. That's the first thing they challenge is that cloud. Oh, let's cut the head off.
Yeah.
Just goes to show what's happening in the natural. What's ISIS doing? What's Islam, Muslims doing? They're cutting the heads off of Christians. Right. Brother Branham said, what's going on in the natural types of spiritual?
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
They're trying to cut our spiritual head off, and they're also cutting natural heads off. But they can't do it.
Amen.
Why? Because it's went from the head down into the body.
Yes.
They're trying to cut the head off. It's not there anymore. It's right here now.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? They laid the dog short on that one, wasn't they?
Yes.
Nothing can be added or taken from me, he said. So that word moves down from the head as the day comes close. Down into the body. Vindicating that they are one. They are husband and wife. They are flesh of His flesh. Word of His word. Life of His life. And spirit of His spirit, he says. Oh my gosh. Moving down just a little bit more. I can't go through all that. But he goes down a little bit more. He says, oh, if I could go back in time. And if we had time, he says, and go into Ezekiel and pull out them dry bones.
Yeah.
Amen. But we got a little bit of time here this morning. But we can do that. Ezekiel 37:1. Whew. Reading this and then looking back at the quotes that he just spoke that we just read of. It fits perfectly.
Yeah.
There's only two places in all the message Brother Branham ever talks about Ezekiel, the dry bones of Ezekiel. Christ, the mystery of God revealed that we just read. And there's another one in 65. I can't remember the name of the title. It slipped my mind. The prophecy is of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. So it kind of sounds like John on the Isle of Patmos
right.
got carried up in the Lord's day.
Yes.
Amen. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones. Sound like he was putting Laodicea.
Yeah.
Bunch of dry bones everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Why were they dry? They had no water.
Right.
They had no rivers of living water. They had no spirit.
Right.
No Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Just like the churches today. They're dry.
Amen.
They don't have no Christ, no water flowing out of them.
Right.
Amen. And he said unto me, Son of man, prophet, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, upon these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in unto you, and ye shall live.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Sound like they're going to have the revelation of the one true living God. Amen? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. A noise.
Yeah.
When God moves, there's a noise.
Yeah.
It's not sitting there, let's twiddle our thumbs, and let's just, you can hear crickets chirping. Every time God's moved, there's a noise.
Amen.
Amen. And behold, the great shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh come upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. They had the bones, the foundation.
Yeah.
They had the sinews, which is the ligaments or the joints. Every joint supplieth.
Right.
The church was working in order. They had the flesh or the word. They had the skin, the right doctrine.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the breath of God.
Right.
See how we can live? We can be outwardly, we can look perfect.
Right.
Long hair, long dresses, short hair for men. Wearing pants, I mean, just outwardly just display what a Christian should be.
Yeah.
And still not have the breath of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Still not have the breath of God. And then he said unto me, prophesy again. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. Move from the four winds, excuse me, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came in unto them. And they lived and stood up on their feet. An exceeding great army. After the breath of God come into them.
Amen.
That's when they stood up. That's when they marched. That's when they were considered a great army. It wasn't when they had the bones and the flesh and the skin and they were ready. That's not when they were the army.
Right.
It was when God breathed the breath of life, gave them the Holy Spirit. Then they become a great army
in the
kingdom of God.
Yes.
Same way in our day, friends.
Amen.
Same way in our day, you might consider yourself a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But until you get the Holy Ghost, right. God doesn't call you that yet.
Right.
Because that's a privilege. That's a right that a true son and daughter of God has, is to be a soldier.
Amen.
That's a privilege to fight for this word. It's a privilege to lay down our lives for this sacrifice of this word. So many people claim they want to do that. We was talking about it last night. I was telling Brother Tony, I said, Brother Tony, so many people say they're willing to die for their religion. They're willing to die for this gospel. But why is it none of them want to live for it?
Right.
A dead Christian doesn't do anybody any good. God needs somebody alive to manifest his word, not just die for it. And I am all, yeah, praise God. If he wants me to give my life for it, praise the Lord. But I want to live for it first.
Yes.
Amen. I want to live for this gospel, this glorious message that we have.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Wait until he breathed the breath of life into him. Oh, glory. Don't you see? We're the army of the Lord in this day.
Amen.
We are the army of the Lord. We're the ones fighting. We're the ones that he's chosen to defeat the devil.
Right.
We're the ones that he's called to defeat the enemy. Defeat death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah, right.
Not just 2,000 years ago through him. He wants to do it through us. Through us.
Yes, sir. Today.
Today.
Amen.
Why is my existence here? I believe my very existence here is to torment the devil so much that I defeat him.
Amen.
That's why God's called me to this hour.
Amen.
To defeat Satan.
Amen. That's right.
That's why he's called you.
That's right.
That's why you believe so hard. Nothing can shake you from this message. I don't care what proof they come up with.
Right.
Nothing can shake me from it. Because they didn't give it to me. No man gave it to me.
Right.
It's a revelation from God. And I'm actually a part of it. That's why you can't take it away from me, brother.
Yeah.
You can't take it away from me because it's a part of me. Remember the definition of victory. You got to have a successful defeat to call the act a victory, right? Is that not the definition?
Yes.
Well, we've been predestinated to have a successful defeat over the enemy.
Yep.
So what we're going through now, we can call it victory. Jason, I'm sick. Victory.
Right.
I got cancer. Victory.
Right.
Oh, Satan's beat me up. Victory.
Right.
Victory. Every day, victory. No matter what you go through.
Right.
No matter what trial, what temptation, you can claim it as a victory. Because we've already been predestinated to defeat Satan. We know what the outcome's going to be. We're just going through the act right now.
Yeah.
Amen. Every trial, every tribulation we go through, it's going to be worth it all, friends. I can promise you that one day. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet."
Right.
All enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yep.
Yes. Don't you see? That's why we're living in the last days. That's why we're here in these last days, to defeat that last enemy, the greatest enemy, death.
Amen.
That's why God's called us to this. That's why God's chosen us. Many are called, but few are chosen to live in this hour and to believe this message. Oh my. Excuse me. Samaritan Church Aid, Brother Bram says, unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. We have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Remember, we're talking about God's character.
Right.
Victory is a character of God.
Right.
Okay? Character is simply never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift.
Yes.
A man without character cannot reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule, he says. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in the Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him.
Right.
How do we overcome? You got to have a battle to overcome.
Right.
You got to have defeat to overcome. Amen?
Yeah.
He wants to share even his throne. He goes on to say, this little temporary suffering we go through right now, it's not even worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Revealed in us. Not by us, not through us, not on us, but in us. Did he not say earlier that our new body is already inside of us? Everything we have need of is already inside of us. We just got to activate the faith to claim it and believe it and project it out to the world. It's already there. It's not something that's coming one day. What's coming is the faith that we're going to need. That's what's going to come.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So the bride will have the same character as Jesus Christ. She will not just have the victory. She'll be the victory. You say, Jason, I have the victory. Good. You can lose it.
Right.
If I have something, I can lose it.
Sure.
If I had $100 right here, I might lose it. Somebody might take it from me. Somebody might rob me and steal me of it. The enemy might come in. But if I am something, I cannot be something else.
Right.
So if I have became the victory, then I'll always be.
Yes,
I can't be something else. If God's called me to that, then he'll see me through it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just have it. Claim it. Be it.
Amen.
Be the victory in this hour. Be the one that God can use to defeat every sin, every sickness, and every death.
Amen.
Amen. Do you love him this morning?
Yes. Amen.
We were talking about it last night. There was 200 million demons were released at the river Euphrates. We understand that.
Yes.
That's not including what was already on the earth.
Right.
Those are just the ones that were bound in the river Euphrates.
Yeah.
All right? There was who knows ever many million more on the earth. And this day we're fighting all of them.
That's right.
The 200 million plus what was already here. We're fighting them all. That's why we have all the word. That's why we've had full word revealed in our hour to defeat the full devil.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Because that's the only way we'll overcome. That's the only way Jesus Christ ever overcame, was by the word.
Yeah.
And it'll take the full word to defeat Satan. It'll take the full word in us to defeat death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham goes on. Now remembers this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, he says.
Yes.
A lot of people leave that one out.
Yeah.
I don't like that quote. It's a continuation of the book of Acts.
Yeah.
But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless.
Right.
It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. Isn't that what's going on in this hour? The discrediting of God's word? Brother Branham said, you kill a man's influence, you kill the man.
That's right.
You lie about a man, you tell wrong things about a brother. You've the same as killing.
Right.
I mean, you've destroyed his influence. Isn't that what they're doing to us on those websites?
Right.
They're killing our influence. They're slaughtering us, spiritually speaking, trying to anyway, and trying to discredit God's word. He goes right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people, get the true revelation, those are all capitalized, by the way, in church age books.
Amen.
Of the true church, all caps, and what she is, and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works.
Amen.
That's all capitalized too.
Yes.
What's he trying to say? He's trying to emphasize it. If we can get the revelation of who we are, of where we come from, and where we're going, we'll be able to do the greater works.
Right.
Amen. The true revelation of the true church and what she does and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army, he says. An invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her, he says. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. We love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail, he says. But we will prevail over them.
Yes.
With what? The true revelation of the true church and what she stands for. What she's here for. What her purpose is. What is our purpose? Why are we here, Brother Jason? To defeat Satan.
Amen. Yes.
God needs a tool to defeat the devil.
Yes, sir.
God always uses man to defeat his enemies.
Yes.
So God needs a group of people. It's only going to be a handful. It's only going to be a few here, and a few there, and a few here. That's all he needs.
Yeah.
In the days of Noah, he only needed eight.
Yeah.
In the days of Moses, he only needed one. In the days of Joshua and Caleb, he only needed two. He don't need the whole world to defeat Satan. He just needs a handful of people.
Yeah.
Imagine what he can do with a handful of people. Imagine what he did with one man in our day.
Right.
One man that surrendered himself to him fully. Destroyed every denominational spirit that was out there. Tore down their walls they had built up. And he just crushed them by preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
You say, well, they're still there. Yeah, they're still there. But he destroyed them. He put the word and prophesied the word out there, did he not, brother?
Amen.
Destroyed every denominational spirit out there by preaching the gospel. Imagine what he can do with a handful of people.
Right. Yes.
He can destroy death. He can destroy the grave. He can destroy everything. Sickness, sin, everything we have need of, he can destroy it by just a handful of people. By just a few people that'll surrender themselves to him and live for him every day. Not get caught up in the world and the things of the world.
Right.
Not constantly looking back like Lot's wife did all the time.
Right.
Amen. Lot's wife got out of Sodom, but Sodom never got out of her.
That's right.
I wonder how many so-called Christians today get out of the world.
Yes.
Lot's wife left Sodom. She was outside the city.
Yeah.
Amen. She walked out. That's the city. She crossed the line.
Yeah.
All she had to do was keep going. She would have made it to safety.
Yeah.
She would have made it to the refuge. But she looked back. She looked back to her old life, her old lifestyle. It's something inside of her heart said, oh my gosh, what's going on? I can't stop. And it looked back and died instantly. Destroyed.
Yeah.
And set there as a memorial for all the ages to see what happens when we look back to our old lives.
Yeah.
God hates that too. He hates that he set that woman up as a memorial for all ages.
Yes, sir.
Still standing today. Don't look back, friends. No matter what the world tugs on you, what the video games and the music and the television and the Facebook and all these things that we have to fight against. Don't look back. Don't give in. Keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling.
Yes, sir.
Because like I said, all these devils are around us constantly fighting. And we got to press. It's not just that he can block of ease. Oh, right. I'm skipping along. No, we got to press. We got to fight. And we got to press every single day.
Right.
But we've been predestinated to overcome.
Amen.
I cannot overcome. Not overcome.
Right.
God said it. It's a promise. I told you anything God speaks is a promise. Amen. Amen. Oh, God. It's so wonderful what He's done to this hour. Don't you love Him this morning?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. It's so great to see the mighty things that He's done for us in this day.
Yes.
What He's called us to, the purpose that we have. To be in Him, to live for Him, giving us a way to do that. Amen. Back to our original quote, God's character, that's what we're talking about today. Character of God is victory.
Mm-hmm.
Why? God is victory. So the bride's got to be victory as well. Because she's nothing going to be short of what He is. She's just going to be under His headship. Amen. But when He's seen that, that His creation had fallen, He says. Now His own loving character molded Himself into the person of Christ. His own character of love projected Himself into the man of Christ, He says. As Paul's speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making Himself equal. Equal to God, brother, see? His own character molded that kind of a person. Oh, no one could ever do that but God, He says. Molded Himself into Christ. What's the Holy Spirit going to do with us? If we get that character inside of us, what's it going to do? When we see lost souls out in the world, it'll mold us into that image of Christ to where we can have love and compassion for that person instead of beating them down all the time, making fun of them. Oh, did you see how she had her hair? Oh, did you see what kind of skirt she wore? She don't know
right. What
you know, friend.
Yep, right.
Sometimes they don't know what we know. Why don't we tell them? Brother Brennan said, I can read you a quote. I'm kind of getting on tonight a little bit, but I just feel led to go here. There's a quote Brother Brennan said. He said, oh, you say you love a sinner, but do you love enough to go talk to him about Jesus Christ? Do you love him? Oh, I'll pray for him. Oh, I'll pray for him. Okay, that's good. Why don't you go talk to him? Why don't you tell him what God's done in this day? Why don't you tell him there is still a Christ? Because what the world needs more than anything is love. A little true, genuine love. A little agape love.
Yeah.
Not some put-on make-believe. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what they need. Love. Character. They need to see character within us. A victory that we're constantly claiming and having power over the things that destroy us. Or are trying to destroy us. Amen. You love Him this evening.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. As the musicians come, we'll just kind of close it up. I know we got service here tonight, correct, brother? 2:30, you said? Communion service, I believe. Becoming the victory of Jesus Christ. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. All throughout the New Testament, it just talks about having power, claiming the victory, overcoming every obstacle in your life.
Amen.
This bride isn't going to merely make it into heaven. She's going to take the kingdom of heaven by force. She's going to march her way into glory. That's what we're going to do. Amen. One last little scripture reading. As we let you go, Deuteronomy 20. And when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, or should I say devils, and websites,
yeah,
and people talking, you see all these great over things, they're bigger than me. How am I ever going to stop it? How can I fight against that?
Uh-huh.
He says, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee.
Amen.
Which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Or should I say the preachers. The fivefold ministry that God uses to perfect the saints.
Right.
It'll speak to the people. It'll give them encouragement. Give them faith.
Right.
And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and save you. Don't worry. Well, why are we always worrying? Why are we always scared about paying our bills? Or, yeah, if we've done everything, if we've worked a job and we've done all we can do, God will take care of the rest.
That's right.
God's never left his own begging for bread. If we'll stand on the word, me and the brother was talking about it. A woman ain't supposed to work. That's just what the prophet said. She has no business in the workforce.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Now, Brother Branham gave occasions, if you get in debt or something like that, he said, let her go to work. But when you pay the debt off, then go back home.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What he said. Yes, amen? Yes. A lot of people leave that one off. But we's talking. A woman that works, if you stand on the word of God, if you'll stand on that foundation and say, okay, I don't know how we're going to pay our bills if you don't work, Sister Mama, whatever she is, your wife. I don't know how we're going to do it, but God will honor his word.
Yes, sir.
God will honor his word every time.
Amen.
If we'll just stand on it, whatever we have, sickness or anything we have need of, we'll just claim that word.
Amen.
It says it right here.
Yep.
I'm standing on that no matter what. I'm claiming it right here.
Amen.
God will honor that.
Yes.
God honors that sincere, true faith. Amen?
Amen?
God will see your needs, whatever you have need of. Not want, have need of.
Yes.
Amen? Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Let's stand. You got something, brother?
We've been made more than conquerors. Overcome us.
Oh, a surpassing victory. Not just to beat, but utterly annihilate the devil. Oh, that's what he's called us to this morning. That's what he's called his bride to this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, hallelujah to the Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Praise. Oh, thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We're sorry, Lord, if we let you down. We're sorry if we failed you, dear Lord. Raise us up back up. We pray your God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'll move amongst these people today. Oh, keep them safe, dear Holy God, we ask. Oh, Jesus, we pray that you'll reveal your word and open yourself up to them, dear God. Oh, make them a victory, dear Lord. Oh, and no doubt they're going through trials just like all sons and daughters of God. But give them the faith, give them that reassurance of your word, dear God, we pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you. You're so worthy of our praise, dear God. Oh, keep us safe throughout this day, dear Lord. Bring us back safe this afternoon and just open yourself up to us a little bit more tonight, dear Father, we pray. Oh, God, we just ask, as someone was said, to kind of help them on the journey a little bit, dear God, we pray. Oh, Jesus, it's so wonderful to see you. What you call us to, dear God. Oh, out of all the ages, you've chosen us, dear Lord, to defeat the Satan.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
All the great men, Moses and Elijah, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and them great, mighty men of God, dear Lord, you chose me. Oh, Father, how unworthy I am, dear Lord. But because you said I was worthy, I'm worthy, Father. I don't see it, but you do, dear God. Brother Branham said, you see the finished product in our lives, dear Lord. You see what we're going to be, dear God. Oh, Father, open our hearts, dear Lord, and let us be able to catch a glimpse of that this morning, dear God. We thank you. Grant these things, we pray, Father. Keep them safe, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. You love him this morning? Amen. Have you became the victory of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Not have the victory. Have you became the victory? Has God quickened and moved with inside of you?
Yes.
Has God put that character of victory in your heart to where
yes.
you're always overcoming? Every obstacle, you know, are we going to fall every day?
Yes.
Paul said that I want to do, I don't. That I don't want to do, I do.
Yes.
Are we going to slip and fall and make mistakes? Absolutely. But a true character, a true victory will get back up. they'll keep marching onward and they'll go on into glory. Amen. We appreciate y'all having us. We just hope something was said to maybe encourage you a little bit. We just asked our brother, our pastor, to come and kind of close out the service. We look forward to seeing y'all this afternoon. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Make it say amen.
Amen.
You know, saints, we need to get caught up in the spirit of what God wants to do in this hour. When we get caught up in His spirit, we'll start acting out what He wants done. Mm-hmm. And what you heard this morning is exactly what's on God's mind. It's time for us to rise up and become that people that He said we would be.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting when He said that word Nike comes from the word Nike. We're familiar with Brother Bram talking about this Nicolaitan spirit, which is Nike. Nike was to conquer the laity. But the word Nike meaning victorious. And it's kind of interesting how science and developments always come along and they put something out on the market or do something that runs parallel to what God wants for you. I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, that famous Nike shoe, that the whole idea with their whole slogan and everything is that if you'll buy their shoe, you'll outrun the rest. And I just thought that was really interesting. And if we will clothe, we have the hour that we are, our feet are clothed with victory.
Right?
We're going to run better than the rest of them.
Right.
Because we have victory in our feet or in our walk or whatever. And so I thought that was really interesting that he had brought that out. But he mentioned this morning about confirmation when he come in this morning. I just, the Lord been dealing with me, several days ago, or maybe as much as a week ago, that we're at an hour now where it's time for us to not just spend our time trying to defend the attacks of the devil, but for us to begin to make assaults against him. To go and find out, go to his strongholds that he has. What was in my mind is the strongholds that we see him having upon people we love, the people who have left the message, or people that's backslid, those that we're concerned about, that's on our heart, and we know we're close to rapture time, we want to see them come in, to go to those walls, those gates that are holding those people in, and begin to make an assault against those. And I was mentioning that to Brother Daniel this morning, and Brother Jason walked in, and I just turned to him, and I mentioned that to him, and he said, "Brother, you're right, you're walking right down the pathway of my sermon this morning." And so the Lord began to deal with me about that about a week or so back, and that we should go and absolutely become make assaults against the enemy. And so I was just in thinking about how that would be. And you know, the scripture tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I mentioned the other day, I think it was mentioned down there at camp, and my wife said something to me about it, and then I mentioned it to you, that when Jesus was here, he didn't go around saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Because he was the Lord. See? And so what I wanted to share with you this morning, and just kind of following up on what Brother Jason has said, is that the bride of Christ becomes one with him. How many devils defeated him? And if you've got the same life in you that he had in him, how many devils can defeat you? Right? And if he didn't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and you've become one with him, and we know that's exactly what the message has said. I'm not talking about haughtiness. I'm talking about realizing who we are in humility. And if we realize that we are Jesus Christ on this earth, he's become one. And if the world wants to seek him out, when they find him, they're going to find him in the bride.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to have to sit there and say, "Thus saith the Lord," so much either. And what I'm trying to tell you is that you have that spirit in you, and you can do just exactly what Brother Jason said this morning. Where God wants, if you want to get caught up in his spirit, God wants to take you and use you to be an assault against the enemy. And so what you do is when you have a son or you have a daughter and you see that they've gone the way of wickedness, you go to that. And I don't mean necessarily go to them personally. But in prayer, you begin to go before God and get caught up in the Spirit of God, and you come to your daughter or your son or whoever it is or whatever that situation is, and you begin to prophesy against that spirit and those gates and those walls. And you begin to say, "Oh, walls of Satan that's around my child or around my friend or loved one, You shall fall. Your mortar shall become weak. The ground underneath you shall begin to sink, and the walls will shake, and you shall fall. And you begin to minister that in the Spirit. Go out in the Spirit and begin to challenge the devil and say this. And I want to point out something here. When Satan holds people in sin, he gives them great benefits. There are benefits that he gives to them to make them comfortable in their sin. And I believe that we can say to him, Satan, I strip you from the ability to bring any more benefits upon my child or upon my whoever it is. I defy you. You shall not bring any more benefits upon them. And watch what happens. You understand what I'm saying? Because you take away the benefits from Satan from them, and all they have is misery. They have misery anyway. But you begin to strip them of all the things that Satan wants to give them, and their life will fall apart, and there will be only one thing that they will be able to look to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So my point is that it's obvious that the Lord is telling us today that it's time for us to become offensive, not defensive. We're not a weak people. We're a people that are to be victorious, and we are to challenge the enemy. And so we want to begin to prophesy. We want to say, oh, gates of hell that is standing there in this believe the sign, you shall fall. You shall no longer deceive the people in this land. Amen. Do you believe you can do that?
Amen.
I believe that when God's people actually accept that spirit to rise up in what God wants done, and we begin to speak and move forward in the spirit realm, I don't mean you have to go call anybody, you go in the spirit and go against that thing, and those things will have to begin to move because they will shake and tremble and fall. And you begin doing that and you'll see things change. Because God is going to use the life that's in you to take this world over.
Right.
That's what Brother Ram tells us and the Scripture tells us. He's going to take it over because of what's in us. And it's time that we do it. Yeah. You know, Satan will tell you, you can't do that. You made a mistake this week. What does that have to do with it? Mm-hmm. If you make a mistake and you put it under the blood, what does that have to do with it? I've been in constant pain in my shoulder and neck for pretty much since about Wednesday. What does that have to do with it? See, Satan wants to tell you. You're going to stand there and tell them to go out and meet head to head with the enemy, and you got pain in your shoulder? Yep, that's right.
That's right, brother.
It got nothing to do with it. Pain in my shoulder is not going to defeat God.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And so I think the Lord's got just a wonderful idea of what He's given us today, of what we should be. Amen?
Amen.
And so, Brother Daniel confirmed also the Lord been dealing with him in that same direction. Right, brother?
Amen.
But you know what? You're going to have to rise up and say, you know what? Enough's enough. This belongs to me. I have the same spirit in me that was in Christ. And I can defeat this devil. I can come against these gates. Because the Scripture said the gates of hell will not prevail against you.
That's right.
Right? So whether you're inside, he's trying to trap you inside, or you've got there's a loved one that's inside. Either way, if that gate can't withstand you, you can go either way. You can be set free and you can set somebody free. Just like when Samson, he took the gates of the city, put them on his shoulders and packed them up on the hill. Because the gate, that gate is the weakness of the city. Right? That gate is the weakness of the city. So we have typology of that. We have the typology of Jerusalem. That we begin to march around these situations and praise God and give Him the glory and recognize Him in everything and begin to shout and give glory to Him, the walls will fall.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But there's only one thing left, and that is for us to put it into action. And I want to challenge you to do that. I want to challenge you starting today that you pick out what's burdened on your heart. It may be a person or a situation, might be believe the sign. I don't know what it is. But you pick that out, but you got to be willing to fight.
That's right.
Because the devil's going to fight you when you start this. But it's time that we say, you know what? The cost of the battle, I count that cost, and the victory is worth more than the suffering of the battle.
Amen.
And you begin to go to head against the enemy and do what I said. Just go, begin to be in prayer, get in the presence of the Lord, and begin to speak against those things.
Right.
And watch what happens. God has already confirmed it this morning that He's ready for us to do that.
Amen.
Because we're,
you know, I don't know but what, before it's over with, when I said we prophesy, I don't know but what it won't be before it's over with, that we turn and we even prophesy against our own flesh and say, you shall not hold me. Because he said, right? You shall not hold me any further. Prophesy our own body change. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm just saying getting caught up in the spirit of the life of Christ, and that spirit, that testimony of Christ, doing what he, that's the spirit of prophecy, says the scriptures. So you're doing the same thing he does. So we're going to bow our heads and close service in just a minute, so we can go out and get us something to eat and try to come back. I'm hoping that we can make it back by 2:30. And to have service. I just picked that as a time because I figured we could try to make it work out. But we want to come back and have afternoon service and go into communion and foot washing. And I believe the Lord has started the day out really well for us. Yeah. I have sensed a magnitude of the presence of the Lord since this morning already. And so I want you to not hinder, but to get in sync with what the Lord wants to do today. Mm-hmm. Amen. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful this morning for what you have already begun today. Lord, as we have said, we sense that you are going to move in a great way today. And we've looked forward to it. And Lord, we still have great expectations. We're not just going to let our expectations just come to naught now that we've had one service, Lord, but we're going to let it be reach a heightened sense of awareness, Lord, that as we come this afternoon, Lord, you'll speak more to us. And Lord, that this day will be like a milestone to us. Lord, that if we have enemies in our life and struggles today, that we end and they will be defeated. And Lord, we will take a new chapter will be opened today, Lord, in your people. Lord, as we begin to look at the victories that you give us and the enemies that are slain from this day forward. Lord, as we begin to see the loved ones and friends that are astray, as we begin to see them come in, Lord, because you had given us that promise that our children will be with us. Lord, we believe you, and we're going to act out what your Holy Spirit says do in this hour. We thank you, Lord, and ask for your blessings to go with your people, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would keep a circle around us as we go into the world and find something to eat, Lord, that we would maintain an atmosphere and a spirit, Lord, around the things that you have this day for us. We commit it into thy hands and ask in Jesus' name. Let's sing this as you're dismissed.
We've got the power. Yeah.